رب العالمين اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على عبدك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد فأيها المسلمون الأحباب, we continue in the tafsir of Surah An-Nisa, the women. And in our last session we went over those who are prohibited in marriage or prohibited for marriage amongst your relatives, your blood relations, kinship, or through in-lawship, or because of nursing, foster. We continue. Now Allah Azza wa Jal will mention those who are prohibited upon the people because of other reasons, which is ayah number 24. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والمحصنات من النساء إلا ما ملكت أيمانكم كتاب الله عليكم وأحل لكم ما وراء ذلكم أن تبتغوا بأموالكم محصنين غير مسافحين فما استمتعتم به منهن فآتوهن أجورهن فريضة ولا جناح عليكم فيما تراضيتم به من بعد الفريضة إن الله كان عليما حكيما. And all married women, meaning these are prohibited for you to marry, and all married women except those whom your right hands possess. This is Allah's ordinance to you, and lawful for you are all women besides those, provided that you seek them with your property, taking them in marriage, not committing fornication. Then as to those whom you profit by, give them their dowries as appointed. And there is no blame on you about what you mutually agree after what is appointed. Surely Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. The Shaykh says, rahimahullah, وَمِنَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ فِي النِّكَاحِ الْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ أَذَوَاتِ الْأَزْوَاجِ. Among those that are prohibited for you to marry are those who have husbands. Any married woman is haram. And that is a calamity where some men, wal'iyadu billah, falls in love with a married woman and then he seeks to make her divorce her husband in order to marry her. And if someone, alaykum salam, told him that there's a man doing the same thing to your wife, he will go crazy. Someone is telling his wife to leave him, he will go crazy, but he will do it to someone else's wife, some other man's wife. And this is if they actually try to get her to divorce. You will find people that will marry a married woman whose marriage has not been terminated yet, or in the process of being terminated, or she's in her waiting period, or whatever things. They get overexcited and they go marry a married woman. Allah said this is haram. فَإِنَّهُ يَحْرُمُ نِكَاحِهِنَّ مَا دُمْنَا فِي ذِمَّةِ الزَّوْجِ حَتَّى تَطْلُقَ وَتَنْقَدِيَ عِدَّتُهَا. It is prohibited to marry her as long as she's under her husband's care, as long as she's still her husband's wife, until he divorces her or her waiting period has been concluded. Because you know there's a waiting period. After a husband divorces his wife, she has to wait for three menstrual cycles. Some of the ulama say three purities from a menstrual cycle, whatever. There's a difference of opinion. It's about a difference, but whichever one you follow, then this is called the iddah, during which the husband may, you know, retract his divorce, or he may take back his wife. In other words, the divorce is still valid, but he may take her back. After he does this three times, khalas. If he ever wants to marry her again, it has to be that she winds up marrying another man, and she has intercourse with him, and then he decides that he wants to divorce her, unplanned. Then she is divorcee again, then the first husband, marries her. By chance, not deliberately. If they deliberately say, marry this man, divorce him, so I can marry you again, this is cheating. Cheating the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the ulama. Yani they label this marriage as invalid, it's fornication. Ala kulli hal, illa ma malakat aymanukum, except what your right hands possess. Ay bisabi. Sabi, ya Abdul Aziz, are the women who are held captives, yani during war between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. When the Muslims teach the non-Muslims a lesson and they defeat them, the women of these kuffar become war captives of the Muslims, which is known as sabi. Remember the word. فَإِذَا سُبِيَتِ الْكَافِرَةُ ذَاتَ الزَّوْجِ حُلَّتْ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ بَعْدَ أَنْ تُسْتَبْرَى. If the disbelieving woman who has a husband has been held captive by the Muslims, she becomes lawful for the Muslims to have relations with her, for that Muslim of course, after it is confirmed that she is not pregnant. Tustabra. My understanding is that there's no pregnancy. Yani, the Muslims defeated the kuffar. And obviously, among the war captives were women who had husbands. Right or wrong? This woman, after we confirm that she's not pregnant by her original husband, she becomes lawful for the Muslims. She becomes a right-hand possession. If she's pregnant, then no. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that one shouldn't water someone else's vegetation, or as he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. Yani it's not, you don't, if, that's why if you marry a woman and she's pregnant, you don't, she has to deliver. She has to deliver. فَإِذَا سُمِيَتِ الْكَافِرَةِ نَعْمُ وَأَمَّا إِذَا بِيعَتِ الْأَمَةُ الْمُزَوَّجَةِ أَوْ مُهِبَتْ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَنْفَسِقُ نِكَاحُهُ. However, if a slave girl who's married has been sold, because mind you, slavery as in selling people who didn't own themselves existed from before the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it continued during Islam. However, Islam highly encouraged and recommended that you emancipate these slaves, you let them free. That's why by many of the crimes in Islam, the expiation for them is tahriru raqaba, freeing a slave person. And slaves, when we speak of slaves, we're not speaking of a particular race. Meaning we're not speaking about what America did to the Africans or other countries. We're speaking about slaves, could have been white people, Chinese people, black people, Mexican, it doesn't matter. Slavery was just a business, and anyone can be enslaved. If they were born in this fashion, or they were, like I said, that was the way then. When the army would defeat another one, then the women folks and whatever, and even the men would become slaves of the victorious team. So it wasn't restricted to a race. So it is not racism. It is not racism. In fact, if you see some of the images of the which the kuffar tried to draw, or they draw, trying to undermine Islam, and they show you Muslims in the marketplace picking out a slave, women, usually it's a very white women who were being sold at the market as slaves. So it wasn't something that had to do with the race. Then, if a woman who has been purchased and had a husband, or one who has been given as a gift, yeah, and she had an owner and she was married, and her owner is not the one whom she's married to, then her owner gave her as a gift to someone. He has the right to do so. She's his property. And she had a husband, then her marriage contract is not terminated, because the second owner is equal to the first. You understand? We have two scenarios. Muslims defeat kuffar. A married woman among the kuffar, if they're not pregnant, they become the lawful property and they may be enjoyed by the Muslim men as mulkul yameen. This is a war captain. However, if a slave girl was given as a gift, what was the truth thing? It was given as a gift, or if she was sold. She was either sold to someone, or they gave it to this person as a gift, and she has a husband, her marriage is still valid. Her marriage is still valid, meaning he doesn't have the right to have relations with her because she's confined to a marriage. Why? Because she came to this new owner either through purchase or through a gift. Had she been a war captive, that wouldn't be the case. If she's not pregnant, khalas. Is that clear? I hope so.
So she's married to who now?
She's still married to her original husband.
Yeah, the husband of the captive is also, or the...
If a man owned a woman who had a husband and he wanted to sell her, when he sells her to a new person, she still has a husband. Once he sells her and she has a husband, her marriage is still valid. Meaning the man cannot have relations with her because she belongs to someone. Why? She was sold. If the owner had given her as a gift and she had a husband, still she will not be lawful for the new owner because she has a valid marriage. However, if the Muslims defeated the kuffar and this woman became the property of the Muslims, none of that applies. Even if she had a husband, then her marriage is terminated with him, and then she becomes lawful for her new owner, which is the Muslim. Why? Because she was acquired through warfare as opposed to being sold or being gifted. Beautiful. ولقصة بريرة حين خيرها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم and the evidence for that is the story hadith in which you can find in صحيح مسلم. رسول الله gave her the choice of بريرة. وقوله كتاب الله عليكم, the statement of Allah, the book of Allah, or how did they let's see, yeah, Allah's ordinance to you. أي إلزموه واهتدوا به, meaning hold tight to it and let it guide you. Be guided by it. فَإِنَّ فِيهِ الشِّفَاءَ وَالنُّورِ. Verily in it there is a remedy, there's cure, and there's light. وَفِيهِ تَفْصِيلُ الْحَلَالِ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. And in it is the distinction between the halal and the haram, the lawful and the unlawful. It's the criterion between the lawful and the unlawful. ودخل في قوله وأحل لكم ما وراء ذلكم كل ما لم يذكر في هذه الآية. Now included in the statement of Allah, and whatever beyond that is lawful for you, the Shaykh said, this includes everything which was not mentioned in this ayah. فإنه حلال طيب, it is lawful and good. فالحرام محصور, the prohibited is confined. والحلال ليس له حد ولا حصر, whereas the lawful has no limitations and no confinement. لطفا من الله ورحمة وتيسير العباد, this is mercy from Allah, gentleness from Allah, kindness from Allah, and as means of facilitation for the slaves. وقوله أن تبتغوا بأموالكم أي تطلبوا من وقع الذين ضربوا واختياركم من اللاتي أباحهن الله لكم حالة كونكم محصنين. Meaning you seek with your wealth. The Sheikh said, meaning you seek those whom your eyes have befallen on, and you have chosen from among those whom Allah has made lawful for you, in the state of being muhsanin, or muhsinin. In the state of being muhsinin, meaning you're chaste, you're not involved in fornication. أي مستعفين عن الزنا ومعفين نسائكم, meaning you yourselves abandon fornication and you also do that to your wives, يعني you give her her right, you give the wife her right. And people may fail to realize that, and there's no shame in the religion. In many cases when women wind up cheating on their husbands, it's because their rights were not fulfilled in bed. Which means that a man has to do his job. That doesn't make it lawful for the wife to fornicate and cheat. This because it's always haram. It's always haram. But then the man will have a share of the blame that he did not give his wife her rights. And the same way, men have needs, women have needs. And many men fail to understand that. They think as long as they have a good, you know, good time, the woman can whatever. But that's not what Islam teaches. In fact, a wife may divorce and seek divorce from her husband for not fulfilling her rights in bed. This is one of the reasons justifying seeking divorce. So, yani brothers, I'm not going to give you nasiha, y'all know already, but seriously, this is something that we need to take into consideration. And you know, one should speak to his wife, make sure that she's happy, satisfied. You know, some of them may be shy, you know, you get over that thing, but make sure that her rights are given in bed. This is just to protect yourself and protect your family and protect everything. Never allow for her to use this as means of cheating, but it happens. Among some weak women, it happens. وَعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ فَاللَّهِ يَعْفُوا عَنَّا وَأَنْ يُعِفَّ نِسَاءَنَا بِنَا وَأَنْ يَجْعَلَنَا جَمِيعًا مِنَ الْمُحْصَنِينَ الْمُحْصِنِينَ. نعم. غير مسافحين والسفح سفح الماء في الحلال والحرام. The Shaykh said sabh is the ma' what is intended by ma'in is the semen. In halal and haram, فإن الفاعل لذلك لا يحسن زوجته لكونه وضع شهوته في الحرام. The one who does that is not really, عليكم السلام, not really fulfilling the rights of his wife because he is placing what he desires in that which is prohibited. فَتَضْعُفْ دَعْيَتُهُ لِلْحَلَالِ. What is the Shaykh saying? Not committing fornication and not fulfilling your desires outside. Why? Because if a man were to cheat on his wife, let's be honest, if a man were to cheat on his wife, where does he usually have more fun? With his wife or with the woman he's cheating with? You're not going to answer that one, huh? Good. You're not supposed to know that. But the truth of the matter is, they say that one of the Salaf used to cheat on his wife. He was blind. Right? And he used to cheat on his... No, he wasn't blind. Was he blind? Allahu a'lam. Ala kulli hal. He used to cheat on his wife all the time. And the news would always reach his wife that this man is, you know, cheating on you. So one time, he would do this with prostitutes. So one time she went out to the market of prostitution and she dealt with, of course, the what do you call that guy, the pimp, excuse me. And she basically told him that I'm interested, blah blah blah. And guess who she wound up being with? Her husband. So her husband was, you know, now there's a husband, but he doesn't know that this is his wife.
And he's blind. He was blind. He's committing fornication with her, having a blast. So eventually she spoke. And she told him, I'm your wife. He said, How delicious you are in haram and how detestable you are in halal. You understand? Yani while he was committing fornication, this is the same woman. It's his wife. He was having a good time. When he realized that she's his wife, it was a turn off. And he told her how entertaining you were, or delicious, or however you want to translate to English, in haram, and how boring you are in haram and halal. And it was Jesus' wife, big deal. The shahid from this speech is that because the shaitan beautifies haram, one who cheats on his wife will have a greater time with this fiance, with his mistress, than he would have with his wife. This is from the tricks of the shaitan. Needless to say, no one should be cheating on anyone. But we're speaking about facts. Not that anyone is being encouraged to go out because zina is a one-way ticket to Jahannam. It's a one-way ticket to Jahannam. So stick to your wife and mind your business. If you love women, go to Jannah. There'll be plenty of Nur al-Ain, inshallah, for you to entertain yourself around the clock. But in this dunya, it's a headache. It's a headache. It's zina. It's children who don't know who their parents are. It's sexually transmitted diseases. It's disgrace, humiliation. Every evil thing you can think of will come along with fornication and adultery. So we need to be very careful. The Sheikh said, if a man then is cheating on his wife, this will make his desire towards his wife decrease. He'll be more interested in cheating than in having relations with his own wife. Brother. So the Sheikh said, فَطَبْعُمْ دَعْيَةُ الْحَلَالِ. Then that which calls for halal will be weakened. فَلَا يُبْقِي مُحْسِنًا لِزَوْجَتِهِ. Then he will not be fulfilling his wife's rights. He will not be fulfilling his wife's rights. لقوله تعالى الزاني لا ينكح نعم وفيها دلالة على أنه لا يزوج غير العفيف. And there's an evidence in that none should be given in marriage except one who is chaste. Because Allah says الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك. The fornicating man does not marry except a fornicating woman or a polytheist. And a fornicating woman does not marry except a fornicating man or a polytheist. Meaning, and Allah says, and this has been made prohibited upon the believers. A believer does not marry, a hooker. He doesn't marry a woman who's known man, and he doesn't marry his girlfriend. Because this is a form of kufr, and this is a form of zina, and Allah Azza wa Jalla has made that haram. Only chaste men and women are allowed to marry each other in Islam, unless they both repent, which is another situation. فَمَا اسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْهُنْ فَمَا اسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْهُنَّ أَيْ مَنْ تَزَوَّجْتُمُوهَا فَآتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُمْ. Whoever then women you marry, the woman which you wind up marrying, فَآتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ, then give them their ajr, which is what here? The dowry. أي الأجور في مقابلة الاستمتاع, meaning that which you give in return for enjoying her. ولهذا إذا دخل الزوج بزوجته تقرر عليه صداقها. This is why once a man consummates the marriage with his wife, then it becomes compulsory on him to give her her dowry. It becomes compulsory on him to give her her dowry. Fariḍa, obligatory. أي إتيانكم إياهن أجورهن فرض فرضه الله عليكم. Given them their right, their dowry is an obligation which Allah has obliged you with. ليس بمنزلة التبرع. It is not a form of تبرع. Is what? What is تبرع, شباب, in English?
تبرع.
التبرع يتبرع بماله. Yes, to give charity. You're not giving her charity by giving her a dowry. This is her right. You're not doing sadaqah. It's not a sadaqah. It's her right. Tabarru' is to donate. Technically, tabarru', even tabarru' al-dam, blood donation. When you give blood to someone who's in need of blood in the hospital, you know, because of some issues, he's called it tabarru', tabarra'a bi damihi. He donated his blood. So you're not donating anything to her. This is only her right. Alladhi in sha'a amdahu wa sha'a radda. It's up to him. You know, the donation is up to you. You may fulfill it and you may change your mind. You may say, I'm going to give this, you know, this da'wah center 10 riyals. And then you say, I don't want to give it to anyone. That's your money. You were volunteering anyways. You were giving charity anyways. You're not obliged. But the faridah, you can't change your mind and say to the woman, I'm going to give you, you know, 5,000 riyals dowry. Then you say, you know what, I changed my mind. After you consummate the marriage and you enjoy her, say, you know what, I go back on the initial agreement. I'm not going to give you anything. Now Allah said no. Faridah, this is obligatory. Once you have done that, and you must pay her the money which you promised her. أو على قول فريضة أي مقدرة قد قدرتموها. Or فريضة may mean here, meaning it is measured. يعني the amount which you give them, you've already stipulated. You've already stipulated the amount of money. It is not something that is random. يعني it is not a number which you change. You say 5,000 riyals, 5,000 riyals. فوجبت عليكم فلا تنقصوا منها شيئا. It has become obligatory upon you. Do not then take away any part of it. Do not take away any part of it. ولا جناح عليكم فيما ترضيتم به من بعد الفريضة أي بزيادة من الزوجة أو إسقاط من الزوجة عن رضا وطيب نفس. After you've agreed, there's no harm or sin on you concerning whatever you wind up agreeing about. For example, he tells her, I'm going to give you 5,000 riyals. That was her dowry. He consummates the marriage. Can he say, now I'm going to give you 7,000 riyals? Let's say he had a great night. Can he say, I'm going to give you 7,000 riyals? You can. You can increase. But you can't decrease. Let's say it's the other way around. The wife had such a great time, said, you know what? Give me only 2,000. He promised her 5. She thought this is a good husband who's going to make her happy for the rest of her life. She said, khala, I forgive you for 3. Give me only 2. Can she?
Yes.
Yes. Because Allah said, whatever you agree about afterward, whether the man increases or the woman gives away, with batibinas, she's satisfied. No one is forcing her. No one is compelling her to do it. She's doing it out of her heart, out of the goodness of her heart. No problem. She may tell him, I don't want the dowry. She may do whatever, that's fine. But he cannot tell her, I'm not going to give you your money when she wants it. Or he cannot pressure her to say, fine, give me 2,000 when she is not content. So contentment is a condition. She must be happy with it. Some women do it, not very often. على كل حال, وهذا قول كثير من المفسرين. This is the opinion of many of the مفسرين, those who interpret the Quran. وقال كثير منهم, however, another group of them said, a lot of them said, إنها نزلت في متعة النساء التي كانت حلالا في أول الإسلام. These ayat are concerning the mut'a, the temporary marriage which was allowed in the beginning of Islam. ثم حرمها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade it. He made it prohibited and forbidden. زواج المتعة, which was the marriage when Muslims were out on war expeditions and they were away from their wives and they had the needs which they had, they were allowed to marry women temporarily. And then they would divorce them. That was in the beginning. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made this haram until يوم القيامة. So no one is allowed to have this kind of temporary marriage afterwards. It has become forbidden ever since the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Many, many ayat, many, many ahadith from the Sahaba explicitly mentioning that mut'a was allowed in the beginning, then Allah Azza wa Jal made it haram, and no one was allowed to do this anymore. Who doesn't care about that? that and continue to practice this until today? The wicked Shia. The wicked Shia. The who? Christians. The Christians, yes, here. All the Christians, they anything, everything goes. Everything goes in Christianity. No, we're speaking about among the Muslims. Because the Christian is not going to tell you this ayah is abrogated, not abrogated. They don't even believe in the Quran. But among the so-called Muslims, the Shia continue to practice the Zawaj al-Mut'ah until today. Even though the Prophet ﷺ forbade it. And this is because they're followers of desires and they are the grandchildren of the Jews. And so what do you expect from them? عليهم لعنة الله. Now, وَإِنَّهُ يُؤْمَرْ بِتَوْقِيدِهَا وَأَجْرِهَا. That the man is expected to stipulate the time and the reward. This is in the beginning. ثُمَّ إِذَا قَضَى الْأَمَدَ الَّذِي بَيْنَهُمَا فَقَرَضِيَا بَعْدَ الْفَرِضَ فَلَا حَرَجَ عَلَيْهُمَا. Then once the time has been, the duration has been fulfilled, then if they wind up to agreeing afterwards, both of them mutually, then there's no harm in that. But there's no point in learning this now because it's already been abrogated. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ knows best. So the ulama are different in interpreting the ayat which we just went over. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Verily Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. أَيْ كَامِلُ الْعِلْمِ وَاسِعَهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal is perfect in knowledge, vast. كَامِلُ الْحِكْمَةِ. Most perfect in his wisdom. فَمَنْ عَلَّمَهُ فَمِنْ عِلْمِهِ وَحِكْمَتِهِ شَرَعَ لَكُمْ هَذِهِ الشَّرَاعِ. Part of Allah's knowledge and wisdom, He legislated these laws for you. وَحَدَّ لَكُمْ هَذِهِ الْحُدُودِ الْفَاصِلَةِ بَيْنَ الْحَلَالِ وَحَرَامِ. And Allah Azza wa Jal stipulated these limitations, which are the fine line or the distinction or the criterion between what is lawful and what is unlawful. ثُمَّ قَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ مِنْكُمْ طَوْلًا أَنْ يَنْكِحَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ فَمِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ مِنْ فَتَيَاتِكُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِإِيمَانِكُمْ بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ فَانْكِحُوهُنَّ بِإِذْنِ أَهْلِهِنَّ وَآتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ مُحْصَنَاتٍ غَيْرَ مُسَافِحَاتٍ وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانٍ فَإِذَا أَحْصَنَّ فَإِنْ أَتَيْنَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ فَعَلَيْهِنَّ نِصْفُ مَا عَلَى الْمُحْصَنَاتِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ الْعَنَتَ مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْ تَصْبِرُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. The next ayat say, and whoever among you has not within his power ampleness of means to marry free believing women, then he may marry of those whom your right hand possess. Your right hands possess. From among your believing maidens. And Allah knows best your faith. You are the one, you are sprung the one from the other. So marry them with the permission of their masters and give them their dowries justly. They being chaste, not fornicating, nor receiving paramours. And when they are taken in marriage, then if they are guilty of indecency, they shall suffer half the punishment which is inflicted upon free women. This is for him among you who fears falling into evil. And that you abstain is better for you, and Allah is forgiving, merciful. أي ومن لم يستطع الطول الذي هو المهر لنكاح المحصنات. Whoever cannot afford to marry a woman because he has no dowry. You don't have the فلوس. You don't have the فلوس to marry a woman. You don't have dowry. أي الحرائر المؤمنات. To marry the chaste women who are the free believing women. وخاف على نفسه العنت. أي الزنا والمشقة الكثيرة. And he fears that he may fall into fornication or great hardship and difficulty. فيجوز له نكاح لماء المملوكات المؤمنات. It is permissible for him to marry the believing slave women. The believing slave women. Who are the slave women? Who can tell us again? Because those who came late may have a misunderstanding. Yusuf. Who are the slave women? What an excellent definition. Now brother in the back. Tadal.
This was before the time when slavery was founded.
Is it no longer, is it still part of Islam?
There is no longer slavery in the world.
Huh?
There's no longer slavery in the world.
There is in Mauritania. There is. This is A. B. If Muslims were to defeat the Kuffar, wouldn't their women be there as the slaves?
Yes.
So it still exists. But we want to define slave women. Slave women are either women who were part of the market, they were being sold as slaves, and we said irrespective of race, meaning it's not a matter of color, it's not white, black, anyone could be a slave in the marketplace. Now it is not prominent, it is not widespread, even though it exists in some countries. It is not something what you can do right now, go to the Magala and say, I want, you know, 2 sneakers and this woman right over there. Right? That is no longer the case. So slave women are not necessarily women of a particular race that were enslaved by another race, as in the case with Western slavery. Western slavery was based on racism. It was based on racism. This one in Islam is not based on racism. Anyone, he could be the king. If he is defeated by the Muslims in the battlefield, he becomes the slave of the Muslims.
Captive,
war captive. And he can be sold for 10 riyals afterwards. Why? That's the case. Right? So slave women are women of all races, all skin colors, all whatever, all features, right? Who were either being sold in the market, because this was a common business trade back then, or they were owned as war captives by the defeating soldiers. Because even among the non-Muslims, when two tribes will fight, the victorious tribe will take over the women of the defeated tribe. It is not something that Islam brought into existence per se. This is something that has been known amongst the human beings. Now, if one cannot afford to marry a woman because of dowry complications, Allah said then marry the slave women who are believers. Believing slave women. وَهَذَا بِحَسَبْ مَا يَظْهَرُ وَإِلَّا فَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ الصَّادِقِ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ. And of course we call them believing women according to what appears. Otherwise only Allah knows who's really a believer in the heart. فَأُمُورِ الدُّنْيَا مَبْنِيَةٌ عَلَى ظَوَائِرِ الْأُمُورِ. The matters of the dunya are based on the what is apparent, what is before the people's eyes, not the what is in the people's hearts. وَأَحْكَامُ الْآخِرَةِ مَبْنِيَةٌ عَلَى مَا فِي الْبَوَاطِنِ. As for the matters of the life to come, they're based on what is inside, what you can seal. Doesn't matter what you look like outside, what you had in your heart of iman or not, is the one that will determine whether you go to Jannah or Jahannam, al-'iyadu billah. فَانْكِحُوهُنَّ أَيِّ الْمَمْلُكَاتِ بِإِذْنِ أَهْلِهِنَّ أَيِّ سَيِّدِهِنَّ وَاحِدًا أَوْ مُتَعَدِّدًا. Then marry them after having sought the permission of the owner, whether it is one or multiple owners. وَآتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَوْ كُنَّ إِمَاءً. And even them, give them their dowry. Give them their right. فَإِنَّهُ كَمَا يُحِبْ يَجِبُ الْمَهْرِ لِلْحِرَّةِ كَذَلِكَ يَجِبْ لِلْأَمَةِ. So the same way a dowry is obligatory for the free woman, it is also obligatory for the slave woman. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَجُوزُ نِكَحْ لِمَا إِلَّا إِذَا كُنَّ مُحْصَنَةً. However, it is not lawful to marry the slave woman unless they are chaste. Yani if she's a slave woman who's known for fornication and going around, you know, getting around as they say, no. Then she may not be married. أي عفيفات عن الزنا. They avoid fornication and adultery. غير مسابحات أي زانيات عن. They neither do it in secret, They neither do it publicly. Musafihat are those who are known, yani she's a prostitute. And everybody knows that this woman on the block is a prostitute. This is a musafiha. Muttakhidat al-aqdan, ay akhla bisir, are the ones who do it behind in secret. Yani she goes out with men but without people knowing. So musafihat are publicly known prostitutes. Muttakhidat al-aqdan are women who go out with men in secret without people knowing. Either way, both are committing zina and both are unlawful for a man to marry amongst the slave women. And even the whatchamacallit. Now. فالحاصل أنه لا يجوز للحر المسلم نكاح أما إلا بأربعة شروط ذكرها الله. The conclusion is the free Muslim male may not marry a slave woman except with four conditions which Allah mentioned. الإيمان بهن, that they must be believers. والعفة ظاهرة وباطنة, that they must be chaste outwardly and inwardly, in public and in secret. وعدم استطاعة طور الحرة أو الحرة, he is unable to afford marrying a free woman, because there's a difference in the dowry of course between a free woman and a slave woman. وخوف العنت, and fearing falling into evil or hardship. فإذا تمت هذه الشروط جاز له نكاحهن أو نكاحهن. If these four conditions are met, then it is permissible for the male to marry a slave woman. وما هذا فالصبر عن نكاحهن أفضل. Yet being patient and avoiding marrying them is better. لما فيه من تعريض الأولاد بالرق. Why? Because in marrying a slave woman there is this element of endangering that the children will become slaves. Because their mother is a slave, then they may be enslaved as well. So in order to protect them from that possibility, then it is better to avoid marrying slave women. Again, now on the scene, this is not applicable. But these are the rulings. And Islam applies until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And you don't know. In fact, one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is what? وَأَنْتَلِدُ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا. And that the slave woman will give birth to her master. Yani one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is that all this is going to be prevalent. So we need to know the rulings regardless. Don't think that this is not applicable today. Even though now we don't find it happening before our eyes, knowing it though remains important in order to answer the misconceptions among the Muslims and to know the deen of Allah in general. وَلِمَا فِيهِ مِنَ الدَّنَاءَةِ وَالْعَيْبِ. And because it is blameworthy and it's looked down upon. وَهَذَا إِذَا أَمْكَنَ الصَّبْرِ. This is if one is able to be patient. فَإِنْ لَمْ يُمْكِنِ الصَّبْرِ عَنِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَّا بِنِكَاحِهِنْ وَجَبَ ذَلِكَ. But if one is unable to be patient, he knows for sure he will fall into fornication, then it will become obligatory on him to marry them. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ وَأَنْ تَصْبِرُوا خَيْرًا لَكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And for you to be patient is better for you, and Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Okay, let's just finish these couple of paragraphs. فالحاصل عفوا وقوله فإذا أحصننا أي تزوجنا أو أسلمنا أي لما. So, excuse me, جزاك الله خير. So if the slave women have become chaste, meaning either through marriage or by becoming Muslims, فعليهن نصف ما على المحصنات. What is upon them is half of what is upon the free chaste women. أي الحرائل من العذاب. When it comes to punishment, وذلك الذي يمكن تنصيبه وهو الجلد. Okay, we know that if a woman was to fornicate, what is the punishment? The free woman. 100 lashes. Shubakulo. The woman who, the adulteress, what is the punishment for her? Stoned to death. Because she's been married before, or she's currently married, she's had her share. The virgins who's never been with a man, when she commits zina, we call it in English fornication, not adultery. And the punishment is that she is lashed 100 times, and she is banished, exiled from the land for 1 year. However, if the committer of the crime is not a free woman, it's a slave woman, then it is 50 lashes. Because Allah says upon them is half the punishment of that which is upon the free woman. وَأَمَّا الرَّجِمْ فَلَيْسَ عَلِي مَرَزِمْ. As for stoning, is not to be applied against slave women. Stoning is not applicable against slave women. لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَتَنَصَّفْ. Because you cannot part it. You cannot divide it. Fine. Fornication, we had 100, you can have lash of 50 times. So how are you going to divide stoning to death? You stone her halfway? You can't. So it is not applicable then. فعلى قول الأول إذا لم يتزوجن فليس عليهن حد. So according to the first opinion, if they never got married, there's no حد, there's no punishment against them. إنما عليهن تعزير يردعون عن فعل فاحشة. But there's a discretionary punishment which the judge will impose according to what he sees fit to make her, leave alone this kind of evil sin. وعلى القول الثاني إن الإماء غير المسلمات إذا فعلن فاحشة أيضا عزر. According to the other opinion, that the slave women who are not Muslims, if they fall into fahisha, also there will be a discretionary punishment. وختم هذه الآية بهذين الاسمين الكريمين. Allah concluded this ayah with these two noble names of His: Al-Ghafoor, the most forgiving, and Rahim, the most merciful. لكون هذه الأحكام رحمة بالعباد وكرما وإحسان إليهم. Because these rulings are mercy to the slaves and generosity and kindness from Him. فلم يضيق عليهم. Allah did not restrict things for them. بل وسع غاية السعر. Allah made things as easy as they can be, allowing the man to marry the slave woman and so on and so forth if he cannot afford a dowry. ولعل في ذكر المقبرة بعد ذكر الحد إشارة إلى أن الحدود كفارات يغفر الله بها ذنوب عباده كما وردت بذلك الحديث. And perhaps one of the benefits in Allah ending the ayah with غفور is that it is an indication that the penal codes, the punishments and the penal codes which are applied against someone are means for the sins to be forgiven. Remember we said, someone said, but this is too much, you stone someone to death. They commit adultery, you stone them to death, this is extreme. We say this is mercy for the one being stoned. This is mercy for the society, and this is mercy for everyone. As for the society, when they see this happen, they will think 50 times before they fall into the same sin. As for the one being stoned, when they are stoned for it, Allah will make this stoning means for that sin to be forgiven. So when they meet Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will not have on the book of deeds zina. Why? They paid for it in the dunya. This is mercy from Allah. If they were to get away with it and have to meet Allah with all the zina and the book of deeds, they may go to Jahannam. Let someone stone you to death, you will feel pain for 5-10 minutes, then khalas, you don't have to worry about it in the life to come. Versus go to Jahannam for 10,000 years, or 5,000 years, or 2 days, or even 2 hours. Which is easier? Being stoned to death or burning in Jahannam for 2 hours? Stoned to death. So there's mercy in it for everyone. A وحكم العبد الذكر في الحد المذكور حكم الأمل لعدم الفرق بينهما. And the ruling on the slave man and the punishment mentioned is the same as the slave woman, because there's no difference between them. And with this, inshallah ta'ala, we conclude this dars by Allah's will and leave. If we remain alive and healthy, the next week, inshallah, we'll be dealing with ayat 26, 27, and 28. I'm losing my eyesight. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.